Grave Tone.
Welcome to Grave Tone Podcast, where horror comes to life in every form it takes. I'm Arthur.
I'm Megan. And that that was the second time we just did that intro.
Doesn't matter. They won't hear the other thing.
I might keep it.
Don't. It's terrible. I don't remember because I don't do it often. Anyways, today we are covering a movie that you probably know because you clicked on the episode.
But what was the big horror release this week, everyone? And now say it with me. The Mummy. Sorry. Lee Cronin's The Mummy, because we have to preface that with everything so that you don't think that Brendan Fraser's in this movie.
Exactly, because they literally had to make, Blumhouse had to make an announcement that this is not a Mummy sequel, requel, reboot, whatever you want to have it.
I think they tweeted it like 17 different times.
Yeah, exactly, because he's not in it, and it's completely different. But regardless, that's what we are covering.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're probably wondering, is it all as it is hype type to be? Yes.
I think that can be up.
In a sense,
I think that can be up to your own, interpretation.
I mean, look,
we can have our opinions. We will share our opinions because that's what we're here for. But also, I will never tell someone, don't go see this
movie. No, obviously not. As you know, we are quite positive in the stuff that we do, but we do say the things that are not great.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, you know,
there are some things.
There are some things that are not amazing. There's have even been conversations on Reddit, which we're going to talk about, that people found this movie hilarious in,
a confusing way.
In a confusing way. Yeah. Because, like, let me tell you, the trailer does portray what the movie really is. It's fucked up. It's gory.
Yeah.
It is insane. Very atmospheric, you know?
Yeah.
Well, the sounds and everything. Anyways, we're going to discuss this. But there are some moments that are like, just, it takes you out and you're like,
yes,
what's happening right now? You know what I mean?
And also maybe you're me and you watched the trailer and you went, is this an Evil Dead movie?
Right.
And you're not wrong if you had that feeling.
Right.
I will say, without getting into the spoilery bits, you're not wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So as per usual, we are going to kind of discuss a little bit in general what we thought about the movie, what our ratings are without the spoilery bit. Mm-hmm. And then, Gary's going to come over and he's going to tell you spoilers ahead. So watch out for that.
Yep.
And we're going to go a little bit deeper into the actual plot of the movie and, what we found worked and didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So that is kind of like the menu for tonight. Thank you very much for listening and following us on all of our socials at Gravetone Pod. You can visit the website at gravetonepod.com. And you know what? Since last time we mentioned a couple of times, please leave a rating. It helps a lot. People did it. So thank you very much for doing it. And if you didn't do it, please do it. And if you did it, thank you so much.
Good for you. Gary is digging a grave in your honor as we speak.
That's right.
Shall I read the brief IMDb synopses?
The synopsis?
The summary for everybody.
Summary?
Okay. I'm taking that as a yes.
Wow.
What is the cat doing right now? Okay, never
he's
mind.
Fine.
He's fine. Sorry.
He's fine. Let him be. He's a cat. He's chilling.
Okay, sorry, Po. The young daughter of a journalist disappears into the desert without a trace. 8 years later, the broken family is shocked when she's returned to them as what should be a joyful reunion turns into a living nightmare.
That is the trailer.
Correct.
That is also the movie.
And to be fair, that is kind of the movie.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, it's pretty spot on.
So for the unaware folks, just in case you're like, why do we keep calling this Lee Cronin's The Mummy? It's because Lee Cronin kind of blew up in more recent years. He's a filmmaker from Ireland who gained quite a bit of popularity in the last few years for writing and directing Evil Dead Rise.
Exactly.
Which kind of reinvigorated that franchise more recently and got a ton of hype. And,
and there's
a movie
just
that
a trailer that was dropped for Evil Dead
Burn, which is coming out in July. Not written or directed by him, just executive produced.
Yes.
But yes, he is still going to
looks
be involved
really
in that franchise.
That
looks crazy. I really enjoyed Evil Dead Rise. I thought it was really cool. It was a really fun, interesting new kind of spin on that franchise. You know, when you're sans ash and stuff and you're like, what are we doing here? What are we doing in this Evil Dead movie? They still managed to make something super interesting
and
out of it.
And he kind of blew up because it did pretty well, right? And then they decided to continue the whole reimagining, reconstructing and putting pieces together of the Dark Universe because it completely fell apart. We have a whole episode on that, which people found very interesting. And go listen to it if you want to. But it completely fucking failed, okay? That is the point, is that the universe.
The dark universe stuff did not work.
Yeah, it didn't work. No. So now what they're doing is basically they're selling IPs left and right. And, you know, it worked with the Wolfman or, you know.
Well.
Is it, did it come out?
Did it, though?
Yeah. Anyways. Yeah, it did. So, like, it was okay. Anyways, what I'm saying is that they're selling
you.
IPs.
I know. I get right? you. Yeah.
And Frankenstein thing did work really well.
True.
And Wolfman was kind of so-so. And this is
Invisible Man was good.
Invisible Man was great, right? That's you it. Know. And this is kind of like another way of getting money for their IP.
Yeah, 100%.
With The Mummy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, that's it. Essentially, brief overview. That's sort of what happens is exactly what's in the summary. This couple, their daughter disappears. When they're living in Cairo,
she gets totally kidnapped. I mean,
she gets kidnapped. I know it's not. I shouldn't even say disappears. You fucking see her get kidnapped on camera, and then that's it. And then disappears for 8 years. 8 years later, she is found and brought home to be with her family. But of course, there's something very, very wrong with her, and that's the whole tagline of the poster and in the film and everything is what happened to Katie. So that's what like kind of like the family has to deal with and figure out. Exactly. So
apparently, this movie was partially inspired by his real life grief while dealing with the death of his mother.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you know, Ari Aster just
right, processes every like hereditary
trauma
like
that he has in his life by making movies, and he did the same thing, which, you know, I want to say worked in a lot of the cases in this movie.
Yeah, that's true. So, okay, shall we talk about first impressions of things?
Oh, fuck yeah.
Alrighty then.
Okay, look. Possession movies have an impact on me,
that's true.
You know. Possession movie with kids is even worse. Okay? it has a big impact on me because it just freaks me out. But I also find it kind of hilarious, which I understand what the Reddit audience found.
Yeah, sure.
You know, so did I like it? Yes. Did it have an impact on me? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the it's pretty fucking gory. So it's...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Megan had to turn her eyes away a couple of times. Yeah, I'm like, babe, like, don't look because this is not good. I liked it. It had an impact. Did it work all the way through? Not really. You know, there are some certain cases that it didn't really work. We're going to talk about it later, but I mean, like, this is not a spoiler. When they're dragging her up the stairs in a wheelchair.
Oh, yeah.
It, like, seriously, it's supposed to be, like, a super serious
I'm sorry.
Moment.
I understand, but also I've seen multiple people in life in general carry wheelchairs upstairs, one person in front, one person in back. You can, or one on either side.
You're right. There's two people.
That's, like, a 10-year-old child in there.
Yeah, anyway, so there's a few moments like this that just kind of, like, didn't really work, you know? He tried to do it in Evil Dead Rise, which had a few unserious moment, but it worked with the whole atmosphere a little bit more. I want to say, you know,
Evil Dead, the franchise of Evil Dead, is that it's got a camp level established at its base.
Exactly.
So when you do something campy in the movie, you're like, oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, like it works with it here.
Yeah.
It was a little bit unwanted camp, I guess, in a sense.
Kind
of. Because there were also a couple of times in the movie that they were playing very silly music that I guess kind of worked with the scene, but you're also like, what the fuck just happened? We just saw someone getting brutally murdered, and then there's a nice little jingle, you know, playing, and it was just kind of weird, so it just didn't work really well that well, so I had really mixed feelings about it. I liked it in general, you know? I'm not going to give it, like, an 8 or whatever it is. On IMDb right now, it's a 6.5. I would go probably with a 5, really mid-road. It had a good impact.
Yeah.
But not what I expected it to be, you know what I mean?
Yes. I think I'm sitting much in the same sort of camp that way. I said it and I couldn't figure it out when we saw the trailer. The first time I saw the trailer, I was like, oh, that's weird.
Yeah.
That's not what I was expecting. This looks really odd. It could be really intriguing. It could be really interesting, but I just don't know. This trailer's not making me feel any type of way that makes sense where I'm like, what? What's this movie going to be about?
I thought about the trailer that it was going to be fucked up shit.
I mean, yeah, and there kind of was in a way.
There was.
But I was thinking more, I think I was thinking of it more from a story perspective. Mm. I was like, well, this is a really strange choice for a mummy film to have it be about a little girl that goes missing and then is reunited years later. But she's like a mummy now. Like she's been mama. Anyway, when you think about it too much, it kind of does fall apart a little bit.
Sure.
But basically when we saw, and the more times that I saw the trailer, I was like, this feels like an Evil Dead movie. And then we watched it and I was like, this was kind of an Evil Dead movie.
But also sprinkle in some Exorcist in there,
were,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, a little bit. But they were like, and it's a little bit of Exorcist and a little bit of Ancient Egypt. Like, if anything, the Egypt stuff threw me off because it didn't feel like it fit the tone of the film.
Yeah, okay.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I any of the time that was there, I was like, I know.
Mummy thing to something.
Like they were trying to shoehorn it in. And I was like, this is really strange.
Yeah.
I don't know how to feel about this. So tonally and story-wise, there were just some things for me that were really odd. I thought it looks incredible. There's a lot of cool camera work in it. The effects look fantastic.
The sound is incredible. The sound design is
so good. The cinematography is great. There are a lot of really great performances. I have things to talk about Lee Cronin somehow managing to get performances out of kids in his movies, that he seems to be really talented at doing that. There were so many aspects of it like that I thought were really interesting. But yeah, overall, it just made me feel really strange, because I was just like, I'm really confused about what I'm supposed to feel about this film. And story-wise, that's it. There were some things that I found were like either a little bit shoehorned in, or they felt like they were almost too over the top in the way that they were presented and stuff. So I too am sitting, I think, around like a 5.
Right now.
Like a 5.5 maybe. Like maybe I'm being like too harsh because I was expecting something different out of it. I don't know. But yeah, it was just odd. It was odd.
Yeah. Yeah, that's about right. Yeah. That's what I would say.
Okay, let me go through major cast just briefly for people to kind of be aware. So as mentioned, that's it. The story largely follows a family. So we have Jack Rayner, who plays the character of Charlie Cannon. Most people remember Jack Rayner as being the shitty boyfriend, Christian, I think, from Midsommar.
Okay, right, yeah. Yes.
Yeah. There is Laya Costa, who plays Larissa Cannon, his wife. Kalamaui, I hope I'm pronouncing that properly, who plays Detective Dahlia Zaki, who's a character who recurs throughout the course of the film as well.
And that was her first horror film since Jinn in 2013, which I watched, and it was not bad.
I don't think I've seen that
pretty
one.
Pretty fucking creepy.
Huh, cool. Okay, yeah, sweet. Yeah. There is Natalie Grace, who plays the character of Katie Cannon, who's the Katie that we see for the majority of this film. I believe that it's two different Katies. You've got the little girl Katie who disappears, and then the slightly older Katie who comes back. She's incredible. Shiloh Molina, who plays Sebastian Cannon, who is the brother in the family, and Billy Roy, who plays Maud Cannon. Oh my God, she's so cute with her little unibrow. I loved her so much. And then the only other, I guess, character of note that we see more frequently would be Veronica Falcone. What?
The Nona.
No, the abuela.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, Veronica Falcone, who plays Carmen Santiago, who is Larissa's mother, who lives with him. And then Hayat Camille, who plays the character that they just label as the magician, essentially.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah.
Who is, you know, part of the story. I'm not going to get into it right now. Anyway, she's there for a while. So those are our major characters. That's kind of like very basic plot and our thoughts. So now we can kind of get into the more spoilery bits of things.
Yeah, but not too spoilery.
No.
You're not going to know the whole
We're not going to give you the whole
here.
Plot. It's just to go
Still
through.
Still want you to watch it.
Yeah. We're going to go through plot points just a little bit more in detail to give a broad overview of what the story actually is about throughout the course of the film, and talk about our favorite things, and then maybe, you know, some of our least favorite things as well. But we do tend to focus on our more positive favorites in there. So.
Exactly. We need more positivity in this world.
So let's do it.
Get over here, Gary.
Woo.
You've been warned. Spoilers ahead.
The plot, as mentioned, obviously largely follows the Cannon family in general, particularly obviously Charlie and Larissa, who are the parents. They are, at the beginning of the film and sort of the prologue, I guess, aspect, living in Cairo. Charlie is a journalist.
They're not in Cairo.
Yeah, they're living in Cairo at the beginning.
No, they're in Aswan.
I'm sorry. They said they were living in Cairo.
Oh, wait, that's the other town where... The thing happens.
Yes. It's not where they are. It's
they mentioned like 17 times.
No. That's it's because that's where Katie winds up.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So they're living in Cairo. We have seen this very odd family in a car right at the beginning in like the cold open of the film, who are driving to their like very small farm. Turns out it's a nectarine farm anyway, in the middle of nowhere. The couple, one of whom is this magician character, they go down into. What is that supposed to be? It's like a crypt?
It's basically a crypt. It's like the top of a pyramid that is obviously buried because it's like super old.
There's a lot of stuff that I feel would probably be so interesting in this
to do with the history of explaining.
Maybe that's what I wanted. I wanted a fucking Egyptologist. Maybe that's what I wanted. I wanted a person to explain to me what the history of these things is. That would have been cool. And I didn't get it. And I'm a little bit sad about that. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. So they go into kind of like this the inside of a pyramid, I guess, because there's like a pointy top at the top that we see. A pointy top.
Very nice.
And there is a sarcophagus in there that is fucking crazy heavy.
Yeah, it looks insane.
You know, and they lift it and there's a mummy in there, yes. But it's also alive.
But it's not dead.
It's and not you're like, dead.
Okay, and then it kills the husband.
Yeah.
And the wife, this magician character, whatever her name actually is left to, I guess, deal with this. But we don't really know what happens. So what it turns out happens is that basically what it is at the core of it is that there is a demon.
Yes.
A very, very old demon that lives... that needs a human host and can be trapped.
Be contained.
Yes, can be contained within a human host. And the family, her family, I guess going back generations, has been containing this demon in different human hosts who they basically are kidnapping people and sacrificing them in order for
sacrificing. They're just kind of like infusing
using
the demon
them to be contained.
Them.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. But you're basically like doing that until they die.
Yeah, but they're still alive this whole time.
Yeah, but then it's like when the body gives out eventually they have to switch
to
a new host, right?
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, apparently, which is super fucked up, what needs to happen is that they need a new host body every X number of years, however long it winds up being, and when they do need to change, apparently, it is very good to, it's preferred, I should say, to use a young person, so
innocent,
a child.
An innocent child.
Young, innocent child, because the body lasts for longer, and I was like, oh,
yeah, that was
this
fucked up.
Feels like it almost leads into this really creepy, like, trafficking thing that made me uncomfortable, but I was like, ugh, yuck. Yeah. Anyway, so... this woman takes off and decides to, I guess, kidnap the friend of her daughter's. I don't know if she makes her daughter become friends with kids the city or something so that she
exactly
can pick
happens.
One.
Yep.
So she essentially kidnaps Katie, the little girl, Katie Cannon, from the backyard and takes her. And there's a sandstorm that seems to be coming in at the exact moment, of course, conveniently that this is happening, or it's something to do with the demon. I have no idea.
I'm not sure about that one.
I don't know. So unfortunately, Charlie loses Katie and isn't able to find her. And then
I can't believe they didn't play that rude sandstorm music during that.
You're so stupid.
Come on.
Can you imagine?
Out of all the other songs, the little fucking jingles they played during the movie, that would have not have been out of context.
I know, but this was so, at the beginning in particular, this was so serious. Like, this was horrible. This guy's
daughter
was just...
I'm going to listen to the song now. Okay. This is a fucking great song.
Okay. Anyway, ignore him. Fast forward 8 years, and we are back in New Mexico, which I believe is where the family is originally from, because originally Charlie was supposed to be getting a pretty big job in New York, but obviously I can only imagine
how Charlie's like a correspondent.
Yeah, he's like a news correspondent.
Yeah, that's it, exactly.
He's a journalist. But of course, I can only imagine how this whole thing has affected them, and so he's wound up just taking sort of behind-the-scenes job as a producer at a small news outlet in Albuquerque in New Mexico. So that's where they live, in a beautiful house. Oh, my God.
Way too secluded, man.
I know. No, it is. I agree with you on that. But it's stunning.
It's very nice.
You know what? I have to give major props to Lee Cronin for picking such interesting... like set pieces in his films, because having Evil Dead Rise be in this like old school, like high rise building in a city,
right.
It's weird because it like shouldn't be secluded, but it feels secluded. So cool. The house in this movie is incredible. I loved it. It felt like its own character.
It's way too creaky.
I loved it. I thought it was so wonderful. That staircase. Oh, anyway.
It's a staircase, Megan.
I loved it. Shut up. Why would you judge me for these things? So... anyway, they're living back there when they receive a call from the embassy, I believe, in Cairo to indicate that Katie has been found 8 years after she disappeared and she's alive.
Yeah, in like a sarcophagus that fell from a plane.
That fell from a plane during a crash. That was fucking wily.
That was fucking weird.
Yeah.
Anyway,
so all of this leads them to, of course, go get her, bring her home. However, obviously the Katie that disappeared is not the Katie that we are seeing now, and she is, well, she looks like a fucking deadite, doesn't she? That's why I keep saying this is like an Evil Dead movie, because she really kind of just looks like one. And she basically looks like someone who was kind of mummified while still alive at some point. It's so strange. And of course, it does not take very long for them to realize that something's up.
Wait a minute. It takes way too
long.
Fine,
it takes longer than it should.
There's like 40 minutes of them being in complete denial of what happened to their child. I'm like, bro, are you like... she is not okay.
I know. I mean, I didn't mind that we got, to a degree, you know what? I didn't mind that we got especially some denial from, like, Larry's character, Larissa's character.
Right.
Because, you know, after everything that they've dealt with, you want so badly.
Oh, of course.
For her to just be back with you.
Yeah.
And this is reminiscent of, like, a couple of different even, like... like missing kids cases that we've seen. God, what is that? What is that imposter case from a number of years ago? This kid had gone missing in the States, and he was allegedly, supposedly, quote unquote, there, very big air quotes, found in Europe, and claimed to be this child that had gone missing, Nicholas something, the child that had mm-hmm. gone missing a number of years prior. And he came home, and it was not him. He was older than this kid should have been. And he basically like imposter faked his way into this family. He was a French national who had done this and managed to get away with staying with this family for quite a while. And I believe that part of it, in my opinion anyway, I could be wrong, was because they probably wanted so badly to believe that they had their child back. Right. And he's never been found, unfortunately. I watched a documentary about it. It was wild. I'm going to have to like look up the name of people because it's going to bother me now and I cannot remember. But I remember watching this and being like, what the fuck? Like, it was insane. It was nuts. So anyway, so I can only imagine that seeing something like this in a film, I was like, well, you know, you want to think that this is crazy, but I'm also like, people have believed things or wanted hard enough to believe things sort of similar to this before, right? So it's like, you know, not somebody who's acting possessed. I'm just saying.
Yeah, well, that's the problem, right? Is that it was the whole kind of like starting to act really possessed.
Yeah.
That really derailed things. And I'm just like, okay, she escaped into the walls and she's eating scorpions.
Yep.
Like, no.
Yep.
This is not something you recover from. You
know what I mean? That's it. Yes, I'm so sorry. So this was the case of a man named Frédéric Bourdin, who was like I mentioned, a French national, who in 1997, he convinced a family in San Antonio, Texas, that he was a little boy named Nicholas Barclay, who had been 13 years old at the time that he disappeared in 1994. He arrived in Texas having brown eyes instead of blue and a French accent instead of a Texan accent, and still managed to live with them for a number of months before the truth came out about who he actually was.
Right.
Yeah. He also managed to pretend to be a teenager when he was 23 at the time that he did this.
All right.
Yeah. Cuckoo nuts bananas. Anyway.
Crazy. Anyways, yep. It has nothing to do with the mummy.
No, sorry. But it just made me think of that. When we were watching the movie, I thought of that and I needed to bring it up. I'm sorry.
So this is kind of like, you know, the premise set up, and then obviously crazy shit happens as you see in the movie.
Because of course we know that, you know, Katie's not really Katie, right?
Yeah,
now.
It's not really her. No. There is a whole thing of her being possessed by this demon, and the whole mummification is something. And then, you know, she's running in the walls and she's like levitating and controlling other people. Basically, the whole thing is that this demon is there to ruin families and communities.
Yes.
And everything, and that's what it's trying to do, and it's being very, very successful. It's working. Yeah, exactly. It's very successful. Fucked up shit happens.
Yo.
It is super gory. The poor abuela gets fucking the shit kicked out of her. Like, no tomorrow.
What the fuck? I was literally like, spoiler alert, abuela dies. But when, like, even before that, I was like, what the fuck did this poor woman do to warrant this kind of treatment?
Because she was, like, praying and stuff. And
yeah, I know. It's because it triggered the demon. But, yeah. Know, holy fuck.
Right. So, you know, all that, like we said, super atmospheric, very sound design heavy, because mm-hmm. you hear literally everything and it kind of plays into the movie.
Oh, definitely.
But there are a few things that are just a little bit too ridiculous. You know, when, like we said, when they're hauling her ass up the stairs with the chair and it's like a 1 minute and a half scene and you're like,
yeah.
Why? This is so complicated for no reason. There is a scene where, as Megan mentioned, you know, the grandma dies and there is a open casket, not funeral, but a wake.
It's wake, yeah.
Wake, mm-hmm. right? And then one of the little sisters gets obviously kind of like, quote unquote, possessed mm-hmm. by the demon because, you know,
she's ruining
the family
yeah.
and
yeah.
controlling and everything. And that girl, first of all, pulls out all her teeth, which,
oh my God.
I don't know how strong you need to be to do that. That's fucked up.
I know.
And then she goes to the casket and takes the fake teeth of the grandma and puts it in her mouth, and now she has a full grown set of teeth
in her little tiny
little tiny face, and she kind of smiles and it's supposed to be funny, I guess but it's
I feel like it's not, I feel like it's supposed to be unsettling, but I was like, oh
yeah, but it was kind of funny, like it just didn't, you know what I mean? There's a few scenes like this you're just kind of like, am I, is this,
are am we, I laughing, are we laughing, am I screaming, what am I doing?
Yeah, it kind of didn't land in that way.
It was weird.
But you know what I mean? If you remove all of that, yeah, it's fucked up. The movie's pretty intense.
Yeah, like it's got a lot of great stuff to it, which we should actually, okay, so we should actually get into that. We should get into three favorites so that we can talk about the things that we really liked about it.
Yes.
Okay.
I would say, for me, the whole kind of like, without going into too much detail of what it is, the whole aspect of the mummy subverted my expectations a little bit.
Okay.
In the sense that, you know, it wasn't what you expect it to be. It's not like she's there draped with a bunch of whatever.
It's quite different than you're expecting it to be.
It is very different. Like, basically, the whole wrappings of her is essentially kind of like her quote-unquote skin, which was fucked up.
And it's a spell to and keep the demon contained.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But like when... That's why she kind of looks really kind of insane and really gruesome. Let's put it that way in the trailer. You know, because those are actually bandages and everything. And this is a character design choice that I really liked. Because seriously, seeing her every time on camera, I was taken aback by literally any part of the body that was shown.
Mm-hmm.
It, yeah, man. She did a great job of playing that character.
Oh my gosh, physicality
that she had to do with this.
Yeah, this girl, Natalie Calloway, who plays Katie's character. Yeah. What the fuck?
Especially at the end when, you know, she's kind of like walking and tweaking and everything. Crazy. And half bent and whatever. That was insane. So like that whole aspect of all of that, I think was at least one of the most memorable things that I remember from this movie from that we saw yesterday.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. I think to, I guess, kind of piggyback off of that, I think one of my favorite things was probably just overall, I guess I should say, like Katie's a huge standout, obviously, but she's also played by a 22-year-old girl.
Right, makes sense.
Yeah. But just, I would say the kids' performances in the film in general, I find it really great. Now that we're seeing so much more of that, and that it's not just like a kid looking like they're surprised all the time in a horror film, like when you get like really talented kid actors. And I felt that way about Evil Dead Rise too. The kids and the family dynamic are really like also at the heart of that film. This, it translates into this one as well. There are a lot of similar sort of themes that way. And the kids in that movie were great. And I thought the kids in this movie were really great as well. Like they're all really the things good. That they're dealing with, like Sebastian, you know, so Maude, the youngest, she was not born yet when her sister disappeared. So for her, she's also very young. She's like 7 years old. This is a whole new experience for her. Sebastian was his older sister disappeared. Like his big sister disappeared. And he kind of has grown up into like a young teenager without her, and now she's come back, but she's like a different person. And I can only imagine like how odd and how disconcerting that would be for somebody of so course. Young, especially when it happened. And now, even now when she's back, and I thought he was really great. I thought he did such a good job at like playing that character convincingly and just being like the most uncomfortable he possibly could be. I don't know what it is. I think Lee Cronin's just really great with the kid actors in his films, but he really gets great performances out of them. And Maude was so stinking cute. She was adorable and so sweet. I loved her.
She was really good. I have to agree. Yeah. I mean, they were also kind of like some of the main characters, I would say, you know, discounting the whole father and mother thing. They were the actual main characters that I feel like we spend most of the time with.
Yeah.
You know, because they are the most impacted by this.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the whole demon starts to take them over or possess them, I guess, because they're a much easier target, I would say.
Yeah, right? True.
For me, in terms of number two, we kind of mentioned it, but it is the whole sound design.
Mm-hmm.
It was super unsettling, especially when you're sitting there and watching it in a movie and there's a bunch of sounds coming around you from one side and then from the other side. You know, there's that is seen in the trailer. Katie's kind of like tapping her teeth in the movie.
Yeah.
It's fucking insane.
Always to be seeing this.
There's always some kind of weird little sound, little tick that does make a difference. So the way that they've done, like there were even a couple of scenes when there's like a super intense moment and, you know, someone shifts in a chair, kind of leans forward a little bit and you really hear everything. And it just adds like gravity to that moment.
True. Yeah.
So all of that, I think it really put the atmosphere into the movie more than anything, you know. Contrarily, on the other side of things, they used that fucking, what's it called, split Doppler thing. What is that called? You said it yesterday.
Oh, split diopter shot.
Split diopter shot. Yeah. Way too often. Like, a few times, yeah, it was not bad. But then once you've seen it the fifth and the sixth and the seventh time, even in a couple of places where it's kind of, like, not needed,
yeah,
you know, that took me out. So it was really kind of like a weird juxtaposition because sound design was great, but some of the camera shots or choices were just strange.
Again, they felt like a little bit over the top, and you're kind
of
like...
It was just a little bit overdone. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I understand a couple of times you do it for the effect to show it, homage, whatever you want to call it, right? But when it's done so often that it's so in your face, you're kind of like, eh.
Yeah, I get you. It's a little bit, it's a little bit odd for sure. Yeah. Well, anyway, yeah. It's okay. There were positives and negatives.
Yeah, that's fine.
What is my second one? God, that's a good question. I think the setting is my second one. I loved the house. I thought it was so cool. Like they got to use so many different parts of it, which were really cool. You know, it had this really, it was like almost like a, like, colonial style like house from a very, very long time ago. It was old, but God, it was stunning. And it's just in, that's it, you know, as Arthur mentioned earlier, like this very sort of secluded location kind of up on a hill, which of course lends to the not quite gothic atmosphere, but it does kind of draw out a little bit of something like that to a degree from it. The trap doors into the walls and all the like ways that the space was used and
those
stuff.
Those crawl spaces in the walls, never, okay? if we buy a house, it could be a secret room, but not a whole space you can walk through the whole house behind the walls. Creepy as fuck.
I do like a secret room behind like a bookcase or something.
That's fine. Yeah. I'm saying all that space, like they were running around there for like 15 minutes. I know. You can take all that space and make a room out of it.
You
like
definitely
you're just wasting space.
You just expand a lot of the rooms that you've got.
We're not bootlegging shit anymore. Like this is not to hide the alcohols.
Yeah. God. But I loved all of it. Like I loved the set dressing. I loved everything about it. I thought it was just such a cool and interesting space again to be having a story like this in. And it was a cool contrast to have this kind of like possession-y sort of film happening. And so much of it's happening during the day and it's in an area that's very sunny and very bright a lot of the time. So it's cool because it kind of gives you that different vibe.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah.
I want to say to kind of like piggyback on this a little bit and expand. My third thing is that, of course, you know, the kills were gory and fucked up, and there was a bunch of scenes that were, like, really messed up. But what I found made it better is kind of like what you mentioned, the whole house thing, but I really loved the color palette of the house, how it related to the movie and to the mummy and the character design of it and, you know, the whole rotting aspect of things.
Yeah, yeah.
That whole thing, there's, like, that scene where... You know, Katie as the fucked up mummy possessed child, demon possessed child. She kind of like pukes out a bunch of shit on the floor. And first of all, that one of the things that took me out is that they never cleaned it up. I understand there's a bunch of shit going on. I get it. But they never cleaned it up. And it's, first of all, that's fucked.
When she eats the scorpion and they make her throw it up, you're like, do you guys ever clean
it up? Yeah, they never cleaned it up. But, you know, I guess it was a device plot because. In a few days when other shit happens, her kind of puke, I guess, is literally rotting the floors.
It's rotting the floor, yeah.
And she uses that to kind of like crawl through the ceiling.
Crawl through the floor into the ceiling of the ground floor.
That's it, exactly.
It's a great shot, by the way,
that's
when
what
she
I'm
does
saying.
It and then she like
that's
scoops
what I'm saying.
Over
so it's a great shot
ceiling.
And she's kind of like skittering in the fucking ceiling and no one notices her because there's a wake happening.
And nobody's just staring up
yeah,
at anything.
But like all of that and the whole thing and kind of like what happens with the floor and like I said, the color palette and everything and the building, all of that really ties in well together and that, like I remember this vividly, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it looked really cool. It's true. There's a lot of, especially like the physical aspects of this film that just look really good. And I think so. That probably also makes for my third one too, because I think my third favorite was probably the makeup, the special makeup effects just in general, whether it was the makeup on the characters, particularly Katie, obviously, but the makeup on the characters, the gore makeup that they did in a lot of different instances.
I feel like there was a lot
stuff.
Of practical effects.
Oh, so much. Oh, yeah. So much. And it looked really good. Like really, really, really good. And I get it again, like, you know, this is the type of film where you're going to have people who are very focused on making it look as good as possible. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. I think they really pulled it off. And again, coming from Evil Dead Rise with the fucking cheese grater scene and stuff like that, I was like not too surprised that this was going to be what we got out of this one. So when we did, I was like, yep, okay, that makes sense. But it looked incredible. All of the stuff with exactly what Arthur mentioned earlier too, like the basically skin wrapping kinds of things that they do to like keep the demon contained, that has on the inside of it has the like heretic writing on it and stuff like that, that they're like ripping off in pieces. I was like, this is crazy, but it looked really good. Really good.
I know. Actually, you know what? Speaking of kind of like the special effects and stuff. So Maya Kalamaui, the one who's playing the detective Kairuya, exactly. Yes. So apparently she attended a special screening of the movie in L.A. on April 9th.
Okay.
And what she was wearing is that she was wearing the prosthetic makeup by artist Danny Wagner, who, you know. And the effect was the bloody open wound on her neck that happens in the movie.
Oh.
Right? So she attended the screening. And the problem is that it went in a good and a bad way at the same time, because the whole thing went viral, obviously. I think the video reached like 20 million views in basically a day.
Oh, boy.
Right? But also the thing is that people were actually concerned for her, because they were like, did something happen? Are you okay? Like, is this real? That's how good it was. Wow. Right? But that's impressive. That's a cool kind of like marketing stunt thing.
Because you're like, no, I'm pretty sure if she had a wound like that on her neck, she wouldn't just be vibing at this premiere, guys. No. Come on now.
Exactly. Yeah, but you never know, right? From far, you see something happening.
I mean, yeah, it's possible, I suppose, but interesting.
Yeah.
Anyway. Okay. All right. Cool. That's interesting.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. But yeah, I think overall, I think, and I should, you know what? I should highlight too, across the board, I was talking about the kids earlier, but I should highlight across the board, all the performances were great. I thought Jack Rayner was great.
Mom was incredible.
Laia Costa was wonderful. I thought they were both really good. I liked Abuela a lot. I thought she was really cool. I was like, I want a grandma like that. She seems really fun. The magician was creepy.
She was creepy as fuck.
Really exactly what I think made her character so effective was how scary she was. I thought she was excellent at that. The little girl at the beginning who plays Katie when she's young, her name's Emily Mitchell. She was also great. Like the little arguments with the kids that Charlie's having at the beginning, and she's just like, I'm eight, what do you want from me? All of that stuff, I thought they were really, really good. So yeah, I have to highlight kind of the cast as a whole, because I just thought everybody really did a great job with it regardless. And really that's it. I think what it came down to more than anything was just sort of from like a story perspective, there was just stuff that felt like it was shoehorned in. And weirdly, in a mummy movie, the Egypt stuff shouldn't feel like it's shoehorned in, but it kind of did in a way, probably by not having it be there very much and mostly setting it in the States. I was kind of like, okay, this is... doesn't really feel like there's a point to this. Like, this is just like a possession film. It's not really like a mummy movie. Maybe that's why it
doesn't
feel
like a fucking mummy movie. It's a possession movie, not really a mummy movie. And then you're kind of like,
so
okay.
It's an Evil Dead movie.
Yeah.
With a mummy overlay on top of it. Like, you put a filter, like a mummy filter on top of your Evil Dead movie.
Interesting. That just kind of fucked me up in my head.
Sorry.
Wow. That should be their tagline. It's
Evil Dead, but we put a mummy filter on top.
Watch on Snapchat, like, fuck.
I think that makes a lot of sense.
Christ.
Anyway, I guess that's just too, it's unfortunate, but also that's kind of how I felt about it, where I was like, tonally, I feel like I'm not in a mummy film at all right now.
That's it.
And I'm not even talking about from the perspective of like, this isn't some sort of action epic. Like, I get it. That's obviously where people's minds go. I understand why, but I'm trying to think of it even from the perspective of like, what, like the 1932, I think, like Universal horror film and stuff, which is a much quieter one. But like, I'm trying to think of it from that. Like, those felt like they were more steeped within what was going on. And I think largely it's because they were all set there and took place there for a longer period of time.
Right.
I felt like I was there. I didn't feel like a plant when it's like, oh, the family's here. Oh, we've been here for 5 months. And it's like, oh, the daughter goes missing. And then we jump ahead 8 years and we're back in New Mexico. And I'm like, whoa. Okay. And we get some back and forth with like Zaki, who's trying to do her own investigation and figure all of this out. But you don't spend enough time with her. She was a bad bitch, by the way. I like that character. You don't spend enough time with her to really be like, I'm here. Like, I feel like I'm in it.
Look,
kind of.
It sounds like you wanted a mummy movie that is set there And apparently they're doing a reboot with Brandon Fraser, so you're going to get it, okay?
Oh, I'm so excited. And Rachel Weisz.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. I think everybody's excited about that. Come on.
Hell yeah.
Come on, come on. And we'll just ignore that third one. We pretend that it didn't happen.
Let's not
just
canon anyways.
Retcon that. It's not canon. It's not I think canon. They're literally saying it's not
that's
canon.
That's what I'm saying. It's not canon. Doesn't fine. Matter.
Yeah, I think that's, well, for me, that's just kind of what it is. Final thought. So it was just like a really odd mix of things that maybe didn't mesh exactly the way I think that Lee Cronin wanted it to.
Right.
Yeah.
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 All right. That's it. Thank you for listening. Bye.
Okay. Anyway, that's just kind of our feelings about it though. But again, I'm never going to tell people don't go watch this movie. You should go watch this movie if you want
there
to.
Are people in the movie that were like gasping and like, kind
oh
of
yeah.
Like,
oh my God. And I've seen a bunch of people online who have said that they loved it and that's cool.
Of course.
Yeah,
exactly. It's There's totally like, fine.
There are multiple aspects of it to really enjoy.
Hey, to each his own. And yes. That's why we love the horror community. Cause exactly. It is very acceptable.
We listen and we don't judge around here, or we should judge less than we do. You can like whatever you want.
Except people who fucking turn on their phones and spend so much time texting.
Oh, we had that little pet peeve of somebody in front of us yesterday. You know, and it's
Yo,
so funny.
I started reading text messages. I'm like, this cannot be more interesting than what's happening. I want to be part of the conversation.
Do you know what the irony of this entire thing was, too? Was that, you know, we sit here and we bitch about people being shitty in movie theaters. And then I feel like people are listening and they're like, okay, boomer. Guess what? It was a fucking boomer on his phone as well. That was a middle-aged man. So, unfortunately, it's not like this is like us complaining about the kids, you know, that we're just like thinking
chill,
that they're annoying. Right. No, but you know what I mean? Like, we're not,
know,
like, we
I
sound
know,
like
I
the
know.
Old fogies, but apparently the old fogies are on their fucking phones
yeah,
in the middle of a movie.
It affects everyone. Don't do it.
Everybody, regardless of generation, can be affected by this, and it's irritating, but don't do it in a movie theater. That's so weird.
As
if you,
Dead Meat says, be good people.
Be good people. If you can't. If you cannot leave your phone alone for 2 hours,
Yo.
You need to talk to someone. If you can't put that down and you can't like leave it in your pocket or whatever and not look at it, okay, I think you need to have a conversation about like the capacity that you have for attention span.
Oh my God. Okay. This is not a therapy session. That's it. Wrap it up.
That's my gripe for the end of the episode. Yeah, man. Anyway, whatever. I still think that the whole first... almost first four months of the year have gone by so incredibly quickly. There are so many movies coming out, guys. There's a bunch of new stuff dropping on like streaming and in other places. I keep hearing about a gothic period piece by a Maori indigenous filmmaker called Marama, I believe, that came out with like the most limited release ever, and I want to find it and find a way to watch it because it sounds like it's really fucking cool and everybody seems to really love it, and I'm like, god damn it, I want to see this movie. All kinds of good shit coming out now between now and the end of the month. I think it's a little quieter, and then May is just bonkers bananas, so we're
Yay.
Gonna do a little bit of stuff in between that. I think we'll actually have an opportunity to sit down and talk about there's something very bad is going to happen, which is nice, and a couple of other things too, so that'll be nice to kind of get that going before the end of the month, and then in May everything gets cuckoo nuts bananas again.
That's fine. Okay. Let's do it. We're ready.
Anyway, as mentioned, follow us on the socials at Gravetone Pod. Check out the website at gravetonepod.com. Go do our little horror movie picker quiz if you want to do that. Check out the episodes there. Check out all the stuff. Check out the news pieces that we have if you ever just want to scroll through any of that too.
Yeah.
Yeah. But until next week, guys, stay scared and stay tuned.
Ciao, guys.